Today's shiur is a Masechta Yoma on Daf Ches. We will begin on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, seven lines from the bottom, the third word on the line, Amar Abaya. In yesterday's shiur, we learned the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether the tzitz is meratzah, whether it causes ritzui, acceptance of a korban tameh, only when the kohen gadol is wearing it on his forehead, or even when he's not wearing it on his forehead. As we learned on the third line of this amud, the sanya, tzitz, ben sheyeshna al mitzchay, ben sheyeno al mitzchay meratzah, divi Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon's opinion is that the tzitz works whether it's on the forehead of the kohen gadol or not. Rabbi Yehuda says, oideo al mitzchay meratzah. If it's still on his forehead, it's meratzah. Ein oideo al mitzchay, ein meratzah. If it's not on his forehead, then it does not cause ritzui, acceptance of a korban which is tamei. And now, as we begin our sugya today, Abai is going to give us the parameters of this machlokas between the Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, b'nishbar hatzitz, if the tzitz breaks, dekuli al-meloi pligi deloi meratza, then everyone agrees that the tzitz cannot be meratza. As the Gemara will soon on Daf Ches Amud Aleph learn out from a pasuk, ki pligi, when is there a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the toli b'sichso, when it is intact, and toli, it's hanging on a peg. So then we have a machlokes, because Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are going to darshan the pasuk in two different ways. And before we get into that machlokes, let us see the exact text of the pasuk, which is found in Shmos Chav Ches, Pasuk Lamed Ches. The Pasuk says, V'hoyo al metzach Aaron, the tzitz should be on the forehead of Aaron, V'nasa Aaron es avoyna kadoshim, ashe yagdishu b'nei Yisrael, l'chol matnes kacheim, and Aaron should carry that Aveira. And which Aveira was that? We learned in yesterday's Gemara, that was the Aveira of the Basar, or the Dam, or the Chelev of Korbanis, which are Tamei. He should be Meratza by wearing the tzitz. And then the pasuk concludes, "V'ha'ya amitzchay tamid l'ratzin lam l'fnei Hashem." The tzit should be on his forehead. Simple pshat of the pasuk is that the word tamid goes back on metzah. V'ha'ya amitzchay tamid, the tzitz should be on his forehead constantly l'ratzin lam l'fnei Hashem, and it should cause ritzri in front of Hashem. So the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is going to be: do you look at the beginning of the pasuk, or do you look at the end of the pasuk? Let us see it inside. And we're on the first wide line, the first word on the first wide line of the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that what do we darshan? We darshan the beginning of the pasuk where it says that the tzit should be al metzach v'nasa. It should be on his forehead, and then, and only then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, does the tzitz cause ritzui when it is being worn on his forehead. However, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that we go to the end of the pasuk and we darshan the end of the pasuk. What does the end of the pasuk say? V'hoya al mitzchay tamid l'ratz lam l'fnei Hashem. So now Rabbi Shimon says, let's analyze this phrase of tamid l'ratz lam l'fnei Hashem. Tamid l'ratz l'fnei Hashem. My tamid. What does it mean that the tzitz is tamid, is constantly? Ilema tamid al mitzchay. If you're going to say that the word tamid defines, modifies the word mitzchay. In other words, we're going to read the end of the pasuk, v'hoya al mitzchay tamid. It should be constantly on his forehead. The Gemara, Rabbi Shimon asked, mimashkachasla. Is that in fact, do we find that? We don't find that. Miloy boy, male lebeis akise. Doesn't he have to go into the, for his bodily functions, he has to go into the beis akise? And since the tzitz contains in it the Shem Hashem, Kodesh Lashem, it says on it, obviously he cannot walk into the Beis HaKisei wearing the tzitz, so he's going to have to remove it. Umiloi boy meinam, and doesn't he have to go to sleep? And if he goes to sleep, he also can't wear it. Tumah could happen during, while he's sleeping with the tzitz on. He can't wear the tzitz with the words Kodesh Hashem while he's sleeping. So what does the pasuk mean by saying tamid? The answer is, says Rabbi Shimon, it must be because of these questions, that the word tamid does not refer back to v'hoya al mitzchay tamid, but rather it goes to the end of the pasuk. The pasuk reads like this: V'haya al mitzchay. It should be on his forehead. And tamid l'ratzen lam lefnei Hashem. Tamid meratzehu. That's how I learned the pasuk. That you don't have to have, like Rabbi Yehuda says, that the ritzi is only when the tzitz is on his forehead. Even when the tzitz is not on his forehead, as long as the tzitz is intact and it's in the Beis HaMikdash, it will cause ritzui. So the word tamid modifies the end of the pasuk, that the ritzui is tamid, and not that it has to be worn tamid on his forehead to cause the ritzui.
Whom does the truck follow?
That's a good question. You'll have to look that up. I don't know which way the truck goes. Ula Rabbi Yehuda Nami. I would imagine, having seen it, that the truck is one which could go both ways. Ula Rabbi Yehuda Nami Hoksiv Tamid. According to Rabbi Yehuda also, who says that the ritzui of a tzitz is only when he has it on his forehead, but after all, Rav Shimon has a good question from the end of the pasuk where it says tamid, and it would seem that the ritzui is tamid, as Rav Shimon darshened it. The answer is no. The ritzui, Rabbi Yehuda maintains, is only when it's on his forehead. Hahu tamid, you know what tamid refers to? Shaloi yasiach daito mimenu. That the person, the Kohen Gadol, should not remove his das from it. He should constantly be thinking about the tzitz. As the Meiri explains, just like the Gemara soon is going to learn out from tzitz to tefillin, that a person should always touch his tefillin. And what's the purpose of touching your tefillin? That you remember that you're wearing tefillin, and you have the proper thoughts and behavior while you're wearing the tefillin. So the same thing with the tzitz. You shouldn't be masiach das from it. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the ritzui is only caused when the kohen is actually wearing the tzitz on his forehead. However, the word tamid means that he should be constantly thinking about it. But not like Rav Shimon says, that it causes ritzui constantly. No, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. And who is Rabbi Yehuda going like? Kidarav Barav Huna. Dama Rav Barav Huna. Chayivarim Lamashvish B'tfilav. B'chol Shah. A person has to touch his tefillin constantly. B'chol Shah V'shah. And how do I know it? Kal V'chaymer Mitzitz. I learned this out from a Kal V'chaymer from Tzitz. As we turn to Daf, Ches Amir Aleph. Uma Tzitz. She'ein Boy Alaskora Achas Amra Torah Mitzchay Tamid. If tzitz, which only has one time the name of Hashem, kodesh l'Hashem, and yet I require that it should be constantly on his forehead, meaning that shaloi, as the Gemara continues, shaloi yasiach daita mimenu, that he should constantly be thinking about the tzitz. So tefillin, sheyesh ben askaras harbe, tefillin which have many times in the four parshiyos the name of Hashem. I believe there are 21 times that the name of Hashem is written in the four parshiyos. So halacha is kama v'kama. Certainly that you have to always touch your tefillin so that you can remind yourself that you're wearing the tefillin, and you'll act and daven appropriately. Now the Gemara asks, L'Rab Shimon d'Amar. Tamid Meratza, according to Rav Shimon, who puts the word Tamid on the Ritzui, and that the Tzitz is always Meratza, even when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the Tzitz. I voksiv al Mitzchay v'nasa, and the Bach changes the word Mitzchay here to the word Metzach, because Mitzchay is the end of the Pasuk, uses the word Mitzchay. In the singular, that's the beginning of the Pasuk. When it says that Aaron will bear the Aveira of Klal Yisrael, it uses the word Metzach. So we're going to learn like the Bach. Voksiv al Metzach v'nasa. It says al Metzach v'nasa. So the Gemara is asking, what does Rav Shimon do with the beginning of the Pasuk, which would seem to indicate, like Rav Yehuda, that the Ritzui is only caused when the Kohen is wearing it on his forehead? The answer is, Hahu l'kvoy loy makom u'dasa. That beginning of the Pasuk is trying to tell you where you put the Metzach. First, I have to know where you put the Metzach. So that's what the Torah tells you, al Metzach v'nasa. The end of the pasuk tells you tamid, that the meratze tamid l'ratzen lemech Hashem, that the ritzui is even when he's not wearing it. The Gemara asks back for Rabbi Yehuda l'kfar le'makam enole. Rabbi Yehuda, who learns the beginning of the pasuk al metzach v'nasa, that the ritzui is only when it's on your metzach. So how does he know kviyas makam? Nafkalei me'al mitzchah. He will learn that from the end of the pasuk, which says al mitzchai. The Gemara asks back, Rav Shimon nami tepek lemi al mitzchai. Why does Rav Shimon have to learn from the beginning of the pasuk al metzach v'nasa, that what, where the places that you put the tzitz on, and the answer is on his forehead? Why can't I learn it just like Rabbi Yehuda learns it from the end of the pasuk, which says al mitzchai? The Gemara says einach nami. You're right. Where you put it, Rav Shimon could also learn it from the end of the pasuk al mitzchai. The Gemara then asks, if you admit to me that Rav Shimon could also learn that from the end of the pasuk al mitzchai, ela al mitzchai v'nasa my avidle. Now here there's no bach, but we have to say the same thing as the Bach said before. The Gemara is asking now, so according to Rav Shimon, if in fact you're going to learn the end of the pasuk for where the place is, so my original question comes back. What is my original question? What do you need the beginning of the pasuk? And what is the beginning of the pasuk? Al metzach, not mitzchai, it should be al metzach v'nasa, my avodah. What does he do with that? We're back to square one. What does he do with the original question? Amar Lach, Rav Shimon will answer, no, you know what I need the beginning of the pasuk for? For a halacha which we learned on Zayin Amid Beis. Roi lemetzach meratza. If the tzitz is intact and you would be able to put it on your forehead, then it causes ritzui even if it's not on your forehead. Even if it's lying on a peg, as long as you could have put it on your head. She'ena roi lemetzach ena meratza. But if it's not capable of being put on your metzach. Why? Because it's broken. Then, even if it's in the Beis HaMikdash, it will not help. It's not meratzah. Lafuke nishbaratzitz loy meratzah. This, the beginning of the pasuk teaches us the halacha of nishbaratzitz is not meratzah. So, according to Rav Shimon, the ritzui is tamid. Where you put it on, we know from the end of the pasuk, metzach. What do I need the beginning of the pasuk to teach you that when it's broken, it's not meratzah? Now the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Yehuda. Ula Rabbi Yehuda nishbrat sits minole. If Rabbi Yehuda uses the beginning of the pasuk of al metzach v'nasa to teach you that the ritzui is only when it's on top of his forehead, so how does he know the other halacha which Rabbi Shimon learned that nishbrat sits is not meratzah? And the Gemara said at the beginning of our shir today, Abaye said that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree that if it's broken, it's not meratzah. The Gemara answers, nafkalei mimetzach mitzchai, since the Torah at the end of the pasuk could have said v'hoya al metzach tamid l'ratzin, and it puts in the word mitzchai. So memela, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I can learn two things. I can learn where the place is that you put it on. That is his metzach. I can also learn that if it's not roi to be put on his metzach, then it is not meratzah. If it's broken, it's not meratzah. The Gemara asks back on Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon, metzach mitzchai. So what about metzach mitzchai? Don't I have two limudim? I'll have an extra limit here. And what do I use that extra limit for? The answer is, loy mashmalei. He doesn't want to make a drasha. He doesn't feel that that's worthy. The Torah not necessarily is saying something extra. And therefore, he doesn't learn an extra drasha from that. So both the Koran Tribute and Rav Shimon, we can darshan the pasuk to reflect each one's halacha, and it comes out, we have a basic machlokes, whether the tzitz was meratza only when it was on Aaron's forehead, or it was meratza even if it was in the Beis HaMikdash, not on Aaron's forehead, and everyone is moed, as Abaye said, that if it's broken, it is not meratza. This brings us to a conclusion of the tangential sugya that we went into, which was whether the tzitz is meratza only if it's on the forehead or not. Now the Gemara is going to return to the original machlokas that got us into the machlokas about tzitz, and that was whether tumah is hutrahi betzibber or whether tumah is the chuyahi betzibber. Wherever the Torah permitted an avoda to be done in a state of tumah, is in, when it's done with tzibur, and as we explained in the previous shiurim, that tzibur means when it's kaveya loizman, when it comes at a certain time, that's what's known as tumah hutra betzibur, and in that regard, you could even have a korban yachid, as long as it's kavua loizman, it has a halacha of korban tzibur, that it's doiche tumah. That's according to the Mani Amar Tumah Dechuyahi Betzibur, which means it pushes away the Isser of Tumah, but it's not Hutra. The other Mani Amar also Tumah Hutra Betzibur. As we explained, it means the Torah didn't give the whole din of Tumah when it comes to halacha of Tzibur. which again means kavul leizman. If the korban must come on a certain date of the year, like Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov, that has a halacha of korban sibur, and therefore, according to this man Yomer, it's hutra, the halacha of tumah was never said. The nafkamina is, do I have to take any precautions? Do I have to look for a better way to do it? If you hold tumah tchuyu b'tzibur, you do. If you hold tumah hutra b'tzibur, you don't have to look for any other way to do it. You can do it l'chatchila, even in a state of tumah. So now the Gemara wants to say, neima hani tanoi kahani tanoi. Maybe these tanoi means Reb Yudin and Reb Shimon. If you remember, the sugya started out that it was a machlokas amaroyim, which was Rab Nachman and Rab Sheshes. That's how the sugya started on the Vav Amid Beis. But then the Gemara told us on the Zayin Amid Beis that actually the machlokas amaroyim of Rab Nachman and Rab Sheshes is a previous machlokas tanoim, Rab Yehuda and Rab Shimon. Now the Gemara wants to say that that machlokas between Rab Yehuda and Rab Shimon should be totally in another machlokas tanoim as well. The sanya we learned in a braisa. And this Gemara we had already before in the top of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh, says Rashi, whether it's the Kayin Gadol on Yom Kippur, the Yom HaKippurim Upora, or whether it's a regular Kayin who's preparing the Parah Duma for the Mei Chatos, each one of these Kohanim who were separated for 7 days before doing the Avodah, Kayin Gadol before doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur, and the Kayin before making the Mei Chatos, each one of them in their state of separation of Prisha, Mazin Alof Kol Shiva. Each of the 7 days, they are sprinkled water on them. And what do you sprinkle on them? Mikol Chatoy Shehoyisham. From all the Chatoys that were there. If you remember, we had on Davdalad Amad Aleph, Rashi brought 2 pshatim. 1 pshat is, Rashi says, Mikol Poru Poru Yonais Niktsas L'mishmeres Mena Efer Becheil. In the chayil, which was next to the Ezra's Nashim, they used to put separate from each poraduma, from each mechatas that was made, they put on the side, and they would sprinkle on the kayin who was making the next poraduma. They would take from all the previous mechatas, from all the previous poradumas that had been made, they would sprinkle that on him. And then Rashi says another pshat, v'ani shamati, Efer Porah Shal Moshe Leikola, that the original Porah Duma that Moshe Rabbeinu made, that never ended, and they used to take from that Porah Duma and sprinkle it on the Kayin who was making the new Mechatas. So, and they did it all 7 days. Divri Rab Meir. These are the words of Rab Meir. Now, why did they do it all 7 days? So the Gemara is learning, as we'll see as the Sugya progresses, the reason is, because each one of the days might be the 3rd day of Tumah or the 7th day of Tumah. In other words, as follows. The 1st day, normally we would say, when should we maza on him? The 3rd day and the 7th day. That's the normal time that you're maza on a person who might be Tumah. That's the reason the Gemara is learning now why he might be Tameh, why you have to be Mazah on him, because he might be Tameh. So normally it would be the 3rd and the 7th day. However, the Gemara is entertaining the thought that maybe he became Tameh 3 days ago. And the 1st day is really the 3rd day. Maybe the time he became Tameh, once he was separated, we know he didn't come in contact with anything Tameh. By the way, if you remember the Gemara before, the Gemara says that we're not chayshish, why can people visit him? The Gemara asked the Kasha, how can he have visitors? Maybe someone will die right in front of him, and he'll become Tumah, he won't be able to do the Avodah and Yom Kippur. Why don't we separate people from him? So the Gemara said, either because Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, or if Tumah Tchuyah B'Tzibur, it's Milsa D'Loy Shchicha. That's an abnormal thing to think, that's a so chshash rachak, far out thing, to think that someone's going to drop dead right in front of him while he's visiting him during those 7 days of preparation to do the Avodah and Yom Kippur. However, we are choshish in the past. Our Gemara is not speaking about during the 7 days to separate people from him, which the Gemara dismissed, but rather maybe, unbeknownst to him, he came into contact with something tamei. He was in an oil a mace. He didn't know there was a mace there. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that we have to sprinkle on him. He might be Tomei. We have to sprinkle on him on the 3rd and the 7th day. But maybe he became Tomei 3 days ago. And it's so, 3 days before he was separated. Once he's separated, we know he didn't come into contact with anything Tomei. But 3 days ago, maybe he did. If so, when would be the third day of the seventh-day cycle? That would be day number one. And when would be the seventh day of the cycle? Would be day number five. Maybe he became Tomei a day before the Hafrasha. So that then the day before, 2 days ago, in other words. So if that would be the case, then the second day of the seventh-day cycle would be the third day of the cycle, really, and then the sixth day would be the seventh day. What happens if a minute, a second before the separation, he came in contact with something Tomei? So then the third day would be the actual third day. And the seventh day would be the actual day, seventh day. So it comes out, according to this Cheshbon, that every day except one is, he needs sprinkling, misafik. Days one, two, three, each of them might be the third day. And days five, six, seven, each one might be the seventh day. The only day that we don't have an account for is the fourth day. The Gemara is going to ask the son Amid Beis, and the Gemara is going to say, in fact, that on the fourth day, he was not sprinkled. And if you have a Lakute Rashi on the right side of the Gemara here, if you look the 18th line down, they in the brackets, it says, Urevi loy boy zrika, that in fact, the fourth day there was no Zerika, but the other 6 days there was a Zerika. So when the Gemara says over here, Mazna Lov Kol Shiva, it's Lav Dafka, all 7 days, it means 6 of the 7 days, they used to be Mazna. And what's the reason? Because maybe he became Tomei 3 days ago, or 2 days ago, or a minute before the Afrosha, as we explained before. Divrei Rav Meir, this is the sheet of Rav Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, Ein mazno lov ela shlishi v'shvi bilvad. You don't have to make all these kinds of cheshboinus. You're worried that maybe he became tamei, so just do hazo on him for the third day and the seventh day. Rav Chanina Skana Kahana Moimer. Rav Chanina Skana Kahana, by the way, I once heard, why was he called the vice to the Kahanim? Because this was in the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. We have Rav Chanina Skana Kahana in Pirkei Avos. And usually when a Kohen Gadol was, let's say, passed away, then the skan would become the Kohen Gadol. But Rav Chanina never got to become the Kohen Gadol, because this was at the time of the Bayis Sheni. And the Bayis Sheni, unfortunately, the Kohanim, many of the Kohen Gadol were corrupt. They used to buy the position, and they, unfortunately, were not tzaddikim, and they used to be nifter on the following Yom Kippur. So the next position went to the highest bidder. It never went to the one who really deserved it. It was a tzaddik, and that was Rav Chanina. So Rav Chanina became known as Skana Kohanim. He became known as the assistant, the vice Kohen Gadol, but he never made it to become Kohen Gadol. Anyway, what does Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim say in our sugya? Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer, he makes a distinction. Kohen Asar Fesapora Maznal of Kol Shiva. We have always, in these last few blot, we've had two halachas that go together. What are they? The din of separating a Kohen Gadol for 7 days before Yom Kippur, and 7 days that the Kohen who burnt the Por Aduma, the Mechatos, is also separated 7 days before. So Rav Meir and Rav Yossi say the same halacha for both. Either you sprinkle them all 7 days, or you sprinkle both of them, the third and the seventh. However, Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim, for a reason that the Gemara will explain at the bottom of the daf, he makes a distinction. What is his distinction? Kohen Asar V'Sapora Mazanel of Kol Shiva. Ein Echanami, the one who burns the Por Aduma, you sprinkle on him all 7 days. Kohen Gadol B'Yayim HaKippurim, but a Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, Ein Mazanel of El Shlishi V'Shvi. You only sprinkle on him the third and the seventh day. Now, the Gemara is going to focus on the machlokas of the first two Tanoim, which is Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. My love, Bahaka Miflagi, isn't the machlokas concerning this? Rav Meir sover tumat chuya hi betzibur. Why does Rav Meir require you to sprinkle on him every day, as Rashi says on the third line, be'in in tahara ma'alyasa? You need an excellent tahara. V'hazor bizmano. And you have to do that. Hazor sprinkling at the right time. V'chol yayme ikal esmuki. Shema yayme yam shlishi hu litum asai.
As we explained before, that each of the first 3 days could be day number three,
And each of the last 3 days could be day number 7. And since you have to do it, it's only dchuya hibitzibur. And dchuya means that it's only pushed aside. It's not hutra. If so, you have to do it in the best way possible. And there's a mitzvah, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, to do it bizmana at the right time. If so, I have to, every single day that I could be choshish, maybe it's the 3rd day, maybe it's the 7th day, and I have to do it at the right time, and in the best way possible, that's why I have to sprinkle every one of those days, except for the 4th one, as we explained before. So that's if you all tumah d'chuyah hibitzibur. Rabbi Yaisi Savar, tumah heter hibitzibur, or as the Masoreh Shas has on the 3rd line, on the upper right corner, hutra, tumah hutra hibitzibur, and since it's hutra hibitzibur, so Rashi says, we're not machmer. What's the Lashon Rashi? We learned in the sugya before, why do you need 7 days of Rasha? It's a mala that we learned from Miluim. The Achorinim say that from Rashi, it seems to be that it's only a Durabona. Rashi's not learning that we actually learn out the Afrasha from Miluim, that it's a Duraisa. If you remember the Tosfos before, and the Avdalah Rav and Alv said the same thing. It's only an Asmachta, the Rabbonin. Because if you remember, the Gemara says over there that we substitute the Hazor of Miluyim, which was through Dum, for the Hazor here, which is water. If it would be a Din D'Oraisa, how could you substitute Dum for water? And the Tosfos says it's not a Drasha Gemara, it's only a Remez, an Asmachta. That's why you can substitute Dum for water. Here the Hazor is only water. The same thing Rashi's saying, if you say Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, since the whole Inyan is only a Maila Ba'alma, that we learn out an Inyan to do such thing for Miluyim, and Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur, so I don't have to be Makbid having each day precisely, even if I'm wrong, even if the cheshbon of 3 and 7 doesn't work out perfectly, it's hutra b'tzibur. So the Gemara wants to say that the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir will be in our sugya of Rabbi Yud and Rabbi Shimon of tumah hutra b'tzibur or tumah d'chuyah b'tzibur. Frag the Gemara v'tizbra, explain me the following thing. According to your pshat, e sov Rabbi Yossi heter he b'tzibur. So hazor klal amali. What do you need any azah? Says Rashi b'tayra shlishi v'shvi. If you're coming on to that this inyan is tali in tumah t'chuyah or tumah hutra, so if you hold tumah t'chuyah, I understand why you have to be mazah every day. But if you hold tumah hutra b'tzibur, so what do you need any azah? It's mutter b'tzibur, and if it's mutter b'tzibur, I don't have to do anything. And elamai, so the Mephoshim say, the Malay Arroyim says, you learn it out from Miluyim. So if you learn out from Miluyim, you should do it every day. And as Mamanashach, you can't, the Gemara is trying to say, you can't approach the understanding of Rabbi Yossi of 3 and 7 based on Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. Because if that's the criterion of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, then it should be totally mutter. Elamai, as Rashi said before, we learn out that it's a mila to do it from Miluyim. It has nothing to do with Tumah. It's just a mila to be mafresh the person. If so, do it every day. That's the Gemara's kashir. So the Gemara says, so therefore your pshat is untenable to explain the machlokas Rab Yossi and Rab Meir. Ella, the kuli al-mahani tannoi, both of these tannoim, savri, in the machlokas Rab Yossi and Rab Meir, tumah t'chuyah b'tzibur. It's tumah t'chuyah b'tzibur. This is going to be the machlokas. Rab Meir savar amrin in tefilu bizmana mitzvah. Rab Yossi savar loy amrin in tefilu bizmana mitzvah. Is when a person has a chiv to be tovol, is it a mitzvah to do it precisely on the exact day that he's supposed to do it, or could he let it go and do it after this month? So Rashi says, where is this machlokas tali? On what? It's tali on a pasuk. The pasuk, the full pasuk says as following. Vehizo hator ala tomi, by yom ha-shlishi, by yom ha-shvi, that the Torah person used to sprinkle on the tomei person on the 3rd and the 7th day, vechitor by yom ha-shvi, and he became Torah on the 7th day, vechibas begadav, he should wash his clothing, verechatz b'mayim, he should go to a mikveh, vetor b'erev, and after Harav Shemesh, he becomes Torah. Now the words, as Rashi explains here, of the second time it says v'chitoy b'yom ha'shvi are superfluous. It already said by yom ha'shvi before, so it should have just said that he's his atar atom by yom ha'shvi v'chitoy, And it becomes Torah. What does it have to repeat again? But Yom HaShri. El Amai, we learn out, Chazal say, that the second Yom HaShri is not going on the beginning of the Pasuk V'hizah, but it's going on the end of the Pasuk V'rachatz B'mayim, which means that after he received the Hazah on the seventh day, the person who was Tameh, then immediately on the same day, he goes right away to the mikveh. He doesn't wait. Why? Because Tvila Bizmana Mitzvah. And just like we learned this halacha for tefillah, since the beginning of the pasuk is speaking about hazah, we're going to make a hekesh. We're going to learn out the beginning of the pasuk from the end of the pasuk. If tefillah bizman a mitzvah, Rashi explains, so there's a hekesh that hazah bizman is a mitzvah. So therefore, now we understand the machlokas, Rav Meir, Rabbi Yossi. Rav Meir sover amrinin tefillah bizman a mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi Sover, lo yamrinin tefillah bizman mitzvah. So in other words, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds tefillah bizman mitzvah, and each day I have a suffix, as we said before, whether the first, second, or third day are really the third day of the cycle or not. And the fifth, sixth, and seventh is a suffix, maybe it's the seventh day of the cycle. And since you need not only tefillah bizman mitzvah, but hazor bizman mitzvah, if so, and I hold tumat chuyi mitzvah, I have to do it the best way possible. That's why all those 6 days, according to Rabbi Meir, require a hazor. However, Rabbi Yossi holds, tefillah bizman is not a mitzvah. And even though tum is only the chuyah b'tzibur, according to this explanation, but if normally 3 and 7 is good enough, so it's good enough here because there's no special mitzvah. Even if I have it a day wrong, it doesn't matter. As long as I did 3 and 7, I covered myself that the person is tahar. So it's not a machloikis tum hutcher or tum chuyah b'tzibur. It's a machloikis whether tefillah bizman a mitzvah, which means also hazor bizman a mitzvah or hazor, and tefillah is not a mitzvah to do it at the right time. Frag the Gemara, according to your explanation of this machlokas now. You're telling me Rabbi Yossi holds that tefillah is not bizman mitzvah. The sover Rabbi Yossi, why am I reading tefillah bizman mitzvah? Is that so? I'll show you beferish that Rabbi Yossi holds tefillah bizman mitzvah. Vatanya. We learned in a braisa. Hareshaya shame kosav al b'sori. If a person had the name of Hashem on his flesh, and we know that there is a aver of mechikas Hashem. As Rashi brings down the pasuk, it says in Dvorim Perek Yud Beis, Psuk and Gimel and Dalet, V'ibadetam es Shemam and Amakam Ahu, that we have a chiyuv to destroy the name of the Avodah Zorah, to totally destroy the Avodah Zorah. And then it says, Laisasun Kain Lashem Alekechem, but don't do that to Hashem. In other words, there's an isser of mechikas Hashem. So if a person has on his flesh Hashem's name, he should not bathe himself and he should not smear himself with oil. Why? Because that will cause him directly to do a mechikas Hashem, which is prohibited. He should not stand in a filthy place that has urine and excrement there, because that is a bezoyin to the name of Hashem that's on his body. However, if he had, as Rashi says, a tefillas tahara, that the Torah required him to do this tefillah, then what does he do? He has to go to the mikveh, and yet he has to make sure that he has no mechikas Hashem. So he does the following. Koyrech alav gemi. He wraps around himself a grass of reeds. V'tovel, he goes to the mikveh. That's what the Tanna Kamma says. Now, of course, he has to wrap it loosely so that it's not a chatzitza. Otherwise, the gemi itself will be a chatzitza. Will be a separation between the waters of the mikveh and his body. However, what's the purpose of him wrapping the skemi around him? As Rashi explains, because if he goes into the mikveh without the reed wrapped around him, then the strength of the flow of the water will come and will be meichik. It will be considered as if he had rubbed it off by a dime. He will be transgressing the isser of mechikas Hashem. So he has to take a precaution by wrapping the grass reed around him. Then he's toivel. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he says, Yair the toivel kedarka. He doesn't have to put a grass reed around him. He goes down normally. Of course, by a dime to rub it, that's doing it by a dime, that's prohibited. However, to go down without a gemi, that is fine, you could do that. As we'll soon explain why. The Kaimalon, and we were of the opinion that what? that what's the machlokas here about going down with the gemi or not going down with the gemi to be toivel? The betfila b'zman mitzvah kamifli. The machlokas was in the machlokas we had before whether tefila at the right time is a mitzvah l'chatchila or you could push it off. The tana kama sover lo amrin tefila b'zman mitzvah. There's no mitzvah that you have to do it at the right time, as Rashi explains. So therefore, we don't care if he's going to look for a gemi and he won't find it, and then maybe he'll push it off till the next day. Lo amrin in tefila b'zman mitzvah. He'll do it the next day. It doesn't matter. There's no mitzvah to do it today. V'Rabbi Yosi sover, Rabbi Yosi holds. Amrin in tefila b'zman mitzvah. That the tefila in the right time is a mitzvah. And therefore, if you're going to require him to get a gemi, he may push it off to the next day. And he had a mitzvah to do it today. But on this, we just have to think for 1 second. But why should, if Rabbi Yisrael is tefillah b'zman mitzvah, and he doesn't want him to bother getting a gemi, good, but he's being moichik Hashem. This tefillah b'zman mitzvah more important than mechikas Hashem? So on this, the teretz is that the Gemara said before, b'vad shalo yishav shev. According to Rabbi Yisrael, he shouldn't wipe it. If you wipe it, that's doing it b'yadayim. That, of course, is usher. That Rabbi Yisrael wouldn't permit without a gemi. But if you go into the mikveh without a gemi on you, so the, and as Rashi said before, what are you causing that the flow of the water will eventually, as the Chazon Ish in Yerdeya, Hilchas Mechikas Hashem explains, that you're not rubbing it off and the mechik is coming immediately, but rather with the passage of time, with the flow of the water against your flesh, it will eventually rub off. That's not be a dime, that's a grama. So ain echanami, it's us or still midrabbanan to do it. But since we hold Rabbi Yisrael's tefillah b'zman mitzvah, so if I'm going to require a gemi because of the din derabbanan, it might mean that he's not going to find a gemi and he'll push it off to the next day. So there, Rabbi Yisrael is of the opinion it's more important to do tefillah b'zman mitzvah without a gemi than to look for a gemi because of the chshash that it's going to come off al yidei grama. So what do we see according to this hesber? What's Rabbi Yisrael hold that tefillah b'zman mitzvah? Don't look for a gemi. Go in right away into the mikveh. So how could you tell me before that Rabbi Yossi only requires hazor 3 and 7? Because he holds tefillah and hazor bismano is not a mitzvah. We see beferish from that Gemara about mechikas Hashem that Rabbi Yossi holds that tefillah bismano mitzvah. So that cannot be the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Ella, the Gemara changes its mind and says, the kuli amalahani tanoi, both of these tanoim concerning hazor of each day of the 7 days, or Shlishi v'Shvi, those Tanoim, Amrin in Tfila Bizmana Mitzvah. That Tfila Bizmana is a mitzvah. And not that the Machloikis is whether Tumah Tchuyah B'Tzibur or Tumah Hutra, everybody will hold Tumah Tchuyah B'Tzibur. V'Hacha Balkam Ifli, you know what the Machloikis is? Rav Meir Sover Makshin and Hazor Tfila. In that Machloikis that we had before, every day of the 7 days, or 3 and 7, Rav Meir, who says every day will hold, that we do make the hekesh, as we explained before in Rashi, the hekesh between Azor, which was written at the beginning of the Pasuk, to the Tefillah, which is written at the end of the Pasuk, which we learned out that there is a mitzvah to do the Azor at the right time. So that's why he requires misafik every day. You have to make hazor, because maybe that's the 3rd day, and maybe the end of the 7 days, that's the 7th day. 5, 6, 7 might be 7. 1, 2, 3 might be 3. So I have to do it each one of those days. But Rabbi Yossi Sarver, loy makshin in hazor tefillah. He doesn't hold of that hekish. He says it's only halacha by tefillah itself. Rabbi Yossi holds that tefillah b'zman mitzvah. But Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold that hazor bismana mitzvah. So if hazor is not a mitzvah bismana, you could do it only on the 3rd and the 7th day. You don't have to do it on all of those days. Now the Gemara turns its attention to Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim. Now we don't understand the svar of Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim. E makish hazor l'tfila afilu koyin gal b'yom kippurim nami. He made a separation between. We've always had a linkage from psukim. We learned out that the koyin gal on yom kippur is comparable to the koyin who burns the por aduma, and both of them need hafrosha 7 days. When it comes to hazor, Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim makes a separation. That what? That the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur only requires 3 and 7, and the Kohen with Por Aduma requires all 7. What's the Swara? If you make a Hekesh between Azor and Tefillah, then a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur should also require 7 days. And e loy makish hazol tefila. If you don't make the hekish, so it's not important to do the hazol bizman. So why do I go? Why do I go out of my way to give him hazol each one of the days? Because maybe I don't know which day is which. Do it on the third and the seventh, and that should be adequate. Afilu koyin haservis apor and nami loy. Why is the halacha that the koyin who burns the por aduma gets hazol on all seven, on all of the 7 days except for the fourth? Why does he get on all those days? It should be sufficient, the third and the seventh. The Gemara answers, here's the answer. Lo'oilam le'makish. Rachanin Iskanakam is not makish hazah to tefila. And therefore, we understand why Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim only receives the hazah third and seventh. I don't have to think of each day as a possible day where he would require hazah. Third and the seventh sufficient. You don't need bizmano. The halacha of Zmana does not apply to Azor, it only applies to Tefillin and Mikveh. The Koyin Asar v'Zapora, Maila Ba'alma. Koyin Asar v'Zapora, that there was a special chumrah to do it every day. We have seen many times, and we'll see another time on Amid Beis, in this Mestech, the beginning with Dav Beis Amid Aleph, where we made a special chumrah for Koyin Asar v'Zapora. As we remember that the Tzdukim said that Koyin Gadol could be served to para only if he had hair of Shemesh, and we paskin know even without hair of Shemesh. So to show that the Tztukim were wrong, we would make a Kohen Gadol Tamei, and he would have to go to the mikveh, and he would not have hair of Shemesh, and yet he was able to do, he would be able, the Kohen would be able to be soirif as hapora. He would not require hair of Shemesh. But Me'idach Gisa, they were afraid that people would come to be mekel in the halacha of por aduma, that they wouldn't be nizer in the hilchus of tumah v'tahara. So therefore, they made all kinds of precautions to show it's a severe din. We're only being mekel in this one prat. And therefore, they made a chumrah here that the koyin who soirif as hapora has to have azor all of the days of the Hafrasha. Now the Gemara wants to ask the following question. Kiman Azla, according to who is it going? Hard a ton of Rabban, and that's what we learned. Ain ben Kohenah Sarev Sapora, L'Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim. There is no difference between these two halachas of the Kohen who burns the Por Aduma and the Kohen Gadol who separates 7 days before Yom Kippur. Ella, as we turn to Dav Chesem Beis, Shezeh Prishasa L'Kedusha. The Kohen Gadol 7 days before Yom Kippur is being separated for Kedusha. As Rashi says beautifully here, the top Rashi, L'Kohenes L'Machanes Shechina. He's preparing to go into the holiness of Machanes Shechina. V'loye Libay Zacholov. He shouldn't be a Balgaiva. He shouldn't be haughty, that he is the one who's chosen to go into the Kacher Kadosh from Yom Kippur. The Nivdo Mikol Kalis, we want to separate him from all frivolous behavior. As Mikol Kalis Roish, Shechol Olav, Eima Bav Dolosman Abriz. When he separates himself from other people, he will get into a state of awe in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who he's going to go into on Yom Kippur. So the purpose of his Afrash is Kedusha. Therefore, continues the Gemara, the Ech of HaKohanim Noigen Boy. Therefore, the Kohanim can touch him. They can be with him together. Aye, they might be Tomei and make him Tomei. He's not being separated for an Indian of Tahara. He's separated for Kedusha. So therefore, we don't make any special halacha that they have to be separated from him. The Zeh Prishas Latar, however, the Kohen, on the 7 days before he sarif the Por Aduma, he's being separated for Tahara reasons. As part of the Chumrah that we want to show how careful we are with the Por Aduma and the Kohen who's burning it, although we made him Tomei, but and we didn't require hair of Shemesh, but otherwise he has to be very careful of Tumah. Memela there, the Kohanim are not allowed to go near him and touch him. That's the difference. Otherwise, they're the same in all halachas. So, come on, who's this going like? Or Rab Meir, or Rab Yossi. It's either going like Rab Meir, that both of them have to have a zoh all the days of the separation, except the fourth day, or Rab Yossi, or it's going like Rab Yossi, who says only the third and the seventh. The E Rab Chaninis Kana Kohanim, if that would be going like Rab Chaninis Kana Kohanim, Ha'ikon Nami Ha! You have a third difference between the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur and the Kohen with the Por Aduma. That what? That Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippurim, the Hazor is only 3 and 7, and Kohen Asar v'Zapora, because of the Mila, we're mazah him all 7 days. So why isn't that difference mentioned also? It must be. It's not going like Rav Chanina Skan HaKohanim. Maskel of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina now is going to ask the question of the fourth day. Bishlai Marishin, Shemeshlishi. The first day I understand why you need Azor. Maybe it's the third day. Maybe he became Tamei 2 days ago. Shemi, the second of the 7 days, I'm Mazah Shemeshlishi. Because maybe he became Tamei a day before the Afrasha, which on the second day of the 7 days would be his third day. Shlishi, Shemeshlishi. As Rashi says, maybe a second before he became Hafrasha, he became Tamei. On that first day of Hafrasha, he became Tamei. And now the third day of the 7 day cycle is his real seventh day. Chamishi, what about the fifth day? Shemeshvi. If the first day is really day number three, if the first day is really third day of the cycle, then when is the seventh day of the cycle? The fifth day of the Hafrasha. Shishi, the sixth day of the Hafrasha period, Shemashvi. Maybe it is the seventh. Why? If the second day is the third day, really, of the 7 day cycle, then the sixth day of the 7 days of Hafrasha is really the seventh day. And Shvi, the seventh day of Hafrasha, Shemashvi. If the third day is the real third day, then the seventh day is the real seventh day. So in other words, I understand why I have to do Azor 1, 2, 3, and 5, 6, 7. El Revi, Lamali Azor Klal. Why do I need Azor on the fourth day? Loi Bishlishi Iklus Vukei. You can't think that it's maybe the third day, because if the fourth day is the third day, then when did he become Tamei? He became Tamei after the Hafrasha. After the Hafrasha, we know we there's nothing to be metamim. We're careful that he doesn't become Tamei. That's why he's being separated. So it couldn't be the third day. And loy b'shvi'i kalasvuke. You couldn't think that the fourth day is the seventh day. Why? Because if the fourth day is the seventh day, then when is the third day? The third day is the day before you separated him. It would come out that he only had a hazor on the seventh day, which is the fourth day of Hafrasha. He never had the hazor of the third day, because if the fourth day is really the seventh day, then the third day occurred before the Hafrasha, and he never had hazor on that day before the Hafrasha. He only has hazor during the Hafrasha. And as Rashi says at the bottom of the Rashi, Ella Ravi, the last line, Vazor Shvi b'loy shishi ein aklum. If you just gave him hazor on the fourth day, which is the seventh day, and he never had the real hazor of the third day, which would be the day before the Hafrasha, so he only has one hazor, really. One hazor is nothing. So it can't be that you think the fourth day is the seventh day, because then the whole cheshbon wouldn't work out. So the Gemara says, Ela Ravi, Lamali Hazor Klal, Loi Bishlishi Iklus Vukei, Loi Bishvi Iklus Vukei. Ula Taimeich, wait a second, I'll ask you a question back. I have a question to you also. Hazor kol shvi miyikra. How could there ever be hazor on shvi? What about Shabbos? Vokaimon dazor shvus. Hazor sprinkling on a person to make him tar as a shvus. Why? Because now he can bring a korban batara, he can eat kachin batara. So you're misakein. So it's an issue de rabbonon to give hazor to make somebody tar on Shabbos. Ve'ein a doiches a Shabbos. It's not doiches Shabbos. So every 7 day period has a Shabbos, and you're only doing it 6 days. Alamayis lachlameimer. What are you going to have to answer on that question? Shiva labar mi Shabbos. Seven, except for Shabbos. Hachanami shiva labar revi. So ein echanami. Comes out, there's 2 days that he doesn't get Azor. One will be the fourth day, and one will be the seventh day of Shabbos. Amar Rava, Hilchah, based on your cheshbon, Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim, a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, Deloy b'Didan Tal Yamilsa, Ela b'Kviya D'Yachat Tal Yamilsa. When do we separate a Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur? On the third day of Tishrei. Third day of Tishrei, we can't decide when it is. Bezdin decides when Rosh Chodesh is. And whenever Bezdin decides Rosh Chodesh, that's when the third day is. So therefore, we cannot, the point of the Gemara now is, we can't manipulate when the fourth day should come out. So since it's Talia in the Kviya D'Yarcha, whenever the new moon is, Talia Milsa, so B'Tlasa B'Tishrei Bor L'Frushe. He has to be separated on the third day of Tishrei. V'Chol Amos the Misrami, T'Lasa B'Tishrei M'Frushinolei. You separate him whenever the third day of Tishrei comes out. Even if it will mean that the fourth day of Tishrei will come out, the fourth day of his Afrasha will come out in the middle of the week. And it'll mean he'll miss 2 days of Azor, because he'll miss Shabbos, and he'll miss the fourth day. Aval koyin aser v'sapora, but koyin aser v'sapora, dibididan tal yamilsa. That is dependent on us. Why? We decide when he's going to be served to Pyra. The Pyra. We don't have to decide based on Rosh Chodesh. So you know what? If it's up to us, we have a way to manipulate that he will only miss one day. Mafreshin labor revi Shabbos. So we separate him on the fourth day of Shabbos. Ki heichad in Esrami revi shalai b'Shabbos. So the fourth day of his Azor will come out on Shabbos. And therefore he's not doing Azor anyway because of Shabbos. And now the fourth, in other words, if we have a way to make sure that he only misses one day, we do that. If we have to miss 2 days, we do that. But if we have a one-day miss, that's even better. So by Yom Kippur, we can't manipulate anything. If it comes out, according to the calendar, that he missed the fourth day of Afrasha, and he missed the Shabbos day of Afrasha, so be it. He missed 2 days. However, if by the Por Aduma, we're able to manipulate when he's going to do it, let's separate him on the fourth day of the week on Wednesday. So then his fourth day will come out on Shabbos. It'll come out. He'll only miss 1 day of Azor. He'll have 6 days left of Azor. And we just want to conclude with the Rambam. The Rambam paskins like Rav Chanina Skano Kehanim by Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. What does Rav Chanina Skano Kehanim hold? That you are only mazahim by Kohen Gadol 3rd day and the 7th day. Says the Rambam, what happens if the 3rd or the 7th day comes out on Shabbos? So then it comes out, you're going to miss 1 day of Shabbos. He only had Azor 1 day. The Rambam says, in such a case, you do not make any Azor for him at all, because 1 day is like nothing. And it would seem, perhaps, that Rashi had the same idea. Because the end of the Rashi, Divrei HaMaskil El Ravi, Rashi says, V'hasazor shvi b'loy shlishi einoy klum. If the 4th day is really the 7th day, and therefore it means that the 3rd day was a day before the Afrasha period started, it comes out he only had Azor on the 7th day, so 1 day alone is nothing. It seems Rashi goes with the same shita, and therefore the Rambam Taka says, in such a case, according to Chanina Skano Kehanim, in fact, you would do no Hazor at all.